In my lifetime, and that of my many contemporaries who have made it to their senior years, the world has always been in turmoil, caused by wars, the Cold War, etc. Domestically, we have experienced times of relative tranquility, as well as times of drastic social change, causing turbulence and even divisiveness. It at times seemed like life was being turned upside down. Sometimes this may have been for the good, sometimes for the bad. To say the least, today, which we are experiencing one of the most tumultuous times during which life seems to be spinning out of control, being fed by extremism, which is causing divisiveness beyond belief. Everything seems to be upside down and backwards. The tragedy is that we seem to be unable to determine which side is up. To say the least, whatever way we look at it, it is not a position which allows for stability and a peaceful way of life. The noted evangelist of almost a century ago, Billy Sunday, made this observation of his time. The world is wrong side up. It needs to be turned upside down in order to be right side up. Interesting. This is so true. It's times like these which is living the wrong side up. There is need to turn the situation upside down in order to gain a new perspective to the situation and to the goals and standards of society as we are experiencing it today. Ursus Worley, a Swiss comedian and artist, once made this statement: "I like to turn things upside down to watch pictures and situations from another perspective." That is just what we need to do today. Gain a new perspective away from the politics of extremism and closed mind and thinking. We need to turn all of this upside down in order to gain rationality to what is actually happening, as well as the dangers involved for life today and life in the future. You know, this is exactly what is involved in our gospel lesson this morning. Exactly. Jesus was making a statement as to the society of that day. Like most societies throughout the centuries, there was a vast divide between those of wealth, the haves, the powerful elite, and those who were at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, and then those just ordinary common workers who lived day to day. Many of the rich and powerful lived off the backs of the rest of the people, those underlings. Accordingly, they propagated the notion that they lived the life of privilege because they had found favor with God. On the other hand, those who had not reached their status up there had somehow displeased God and were suffering the consequences of a lowly and demeaning life. You know, this gave the rich and powerful all the more reason to take advantage of those beneath them, for they were really ungodly. The problem became one that the people accepted this propagation, since those in power, the religious elite, made it a religious issue. They did everything they could within their power to interpret the religious background and theology of the Jews in order to give credence to the thought that they were God's chosen over everybody else. By and large, that is why they promoted the law, which tended to favor such notion and diminish the words of the prophets, which tended to favor just the opposite. They diminished the words of the prophets, which tended to denounce such thinking. The prophets continually denounced the injustice of society and those who were of wealth and power. But even though the prophets would make changes by turning society upside down with their prophetic voices, wealth and power would quickly take control again. Does this remind us of anything? Are we not living through like times? We have placed wealth and power on a pedestal, and they increasingly have the control over our government, over our lives, and in many instances, over our religions. In many instances, they have control of religion and even Christianity. This has come to the point that there are ministers who promote false reasons for wealth and power. So many fall into the trap and notion of this false notion and power. So many have placed wealth and power as their God to bow down and worship and support. The real tragedy is that we rationalize to the point of being blind to rational thinking. In far too many instances, this has led to a denial of the real truth as found in the Gospels. We can no longer see any truth in Billy Sunday's words. The world is wrong side up. It needs to be turned upside down in order to be right side up. This is where Jesus' Sermon of the Plain, or Luke's version of the Beatitudes, becomes relevant and even hopeful. Listen again. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Some translations have blessed as happy are you. Either expressions make no sense in relationship to the values of a society which is wrong side up. Makes no sense. To further this seemingly irrational thinking of Jesus, he stated, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." These few words were in complete contradiction to what life was like, and people were taught to believe. This is exactly what Jesus wanted to do, for he saw the truth in the life. He saw the truth that he was sent to proclaim was completely opposite to those who taught and propagated falsely so that they may retain their wealth and power. He needed to turn the world upside down in order to give perspective to the message of God's love, to his kingdom, and not man's kingdom. He could no longer have people think of the kingdom of God was just the few elite, but instead it was for those who had been denied being seen as the loved children of God. To those who corrupted this message of love by exploitation of these children of God through false religious doctrine would be the ones to ultimately suffer. The eternal kingdom of God would not be for these false prophets. Even though they set the stage to have people place them on a pedestal to be honored and praised by succumbing to their false teaching in order for their world and their life would be turned upside down. Woe to you who all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did, the false prophets. Woe. Jesus did not come. He did not come to us in order to give credence to the status quo. The status quo was the wrong side up. He came to give a new and different perspective to life. In order to do this, he had to turn things upside down so the truth may be revealed. His message throughout his ministry was very clear and radical to the ears of the errant society. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the religious elite passed by the man who lay bloodied and beaten by the wayside, but the despised, lowly Samaritan was the one to give love and help. This parable was a condemnation of the false prophets, the religious elite. Then it was Jesus' healing on the Sabbath, which by the law of the scribes and Pharisees was an act of defying God. But he saw the need and he loved the person to be healed. There was also the encounter of the rich ruler, and his response was totally opposite to the concept of wealth being God's reward. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and then come follow me. Finally, there was a time when Jesus overturned the money changers in the temple. My house shall be a house of seeking his way, a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. This was an act which dramatically revealed the wrong side up. The wrong side up of a society propagated by the wealthy and the religious elite. So much for the sweet Jesus. The sweet Jesus who turned a blind eye to the corruption of his word and kingdom, for that wasn't Jesus at all. His message was and is not one to placate our rationalizations, but turn us upside down, each one of us, so that we may see life in a new perspective. He came to dramatically show us that God's message of love may be far beyond what society's values may be. His life revolutionized the concept of God's nature and will. He came so that we may see the reality of false prophets who may rule over us. But in all this, he came to give us the reality of hope. For he came to tell us that we are loved by a God who sees us as his children, no matter what society may say. That's why he came. God's kingdom, you see, turns man's kingdom upside down. For his love rules us if we let it. If. And then, you know, that all too familiar passage from John takes on so much meaning for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. The world is upside down, needs to be right side up.